broadcasting life and truth around the world. You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. If you would like to ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you for joining us for another live edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, as just mentioned, the number to dial to get your questions answered via the radio. You can call 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Again, this is a combination broadcast in which we're using our digital media platforms, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. It is the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. So we're looking forward to a great show. We do this most Tuesdays and Thursdays. Last week, I was not able to do that because I was in the hospital pretty much all last week trying to have stem cells extracted. It didn't work as well as we had anticipated. But by God's grace, there are some wonderful ways forward, and I'm starting to recover and feel fantastic again. You know, oftentimes we're looking for these fast cures to our problems, and we're forgetting to do the basics. Poor nutrition, poor hydration, poor exercise habits, and all these kinds of things, which oftentimes are the cause or the underlying cause of many of the afflictions that we suffer. So we have to take care of the temple of the Holy Spirit that God has given us and also take care of the minds that God has given us. We want to exercise the mind, and one of the ways that I like to exercise my mind is through memorization. But all that said, I want to start today's broadcast by talking about one of the books that screwed up the world, and we've been talking about this all month long, 10 Books That Screwed Up the World by Benjamin Weicker. Benjamin Weicker is a fantastic writer, and this book is an incredible resource. If you're watching me on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, I'm holding up the book. For everybody else, you can order your copy for your support of the ministry at equip.org or simply writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. So on to a book that screwed up the world. Here's a doozy, if that's even a word. Here is one that really had a dreadful impact, particularly in Western civilization. It was written by Margaret Mead. It's titled Coming of Age in Samoa. It was written back in 1929, but its very negative effects are with us to this very day. And this is because in the book, Margaret Mead tries to convince the West that the rigors of Christian sexual morality, that these rigors were unnatural, that they produced anxiety, inhibitions, and that we would all be better off without them. And as such, the child of the future, to her way of thinking, must be taught the many, many ways that are open to them. And none of these ways are sanctioned above its alternative. And upon these many different ways, these many different choices, alone lies the burden. Samoans allegedly have mastered all of this. They have eliminated cultural anxieties by regarding sex. Of course, we're in the midst of the sexual revolution as merely a profound form of play. Indeed, the sooner we get rid of societal standards and realize the high point of individual choice and universal tolerance, the better. And let me pause and say, I've often commented that tolerance, when it comes to personal relationships, is a virtue. Tolerance, however, when it comes to truth, is a travesty. Well, Mead's sexual anthropology apparently was not based on real research after all. It was, in essence, a ratification of her own lifestyle instead. And I say that because she was married when she set sail for Samoa. She left that relationship for another one on the way home, and then she traded in number two for number three, and all the while was sprinkling her heterosexuality with the spice of a lesbian lover. Now, the question is, how could the flawed work of Margaret Mead have such an incredible impact on Western civilization? How could it have served as a stepping stone to fame? And the answer, I think, is appalling. It is, I'm afraid, all too often that people wanted Mead to be right. The desire that something be true, as opposed to the desire for truth itself, therefore may well be at the root of all evil, and certainly this evil. It is certainly the origin of all ideology. An ideology was the source of much of the evil in the past century, at least flawed ideology. And Benjamin Weicker makes that clear in 10 books that screwed up the world. Ideology comes at truth. Well, it comes at truth from the opposite direction. And what I mean by that is it molds truth to what we happen to desire, because it has no compunction about refashioning truth to fit our desires. It therefore has no hesitation in the hands of someone like Mead in refashioning reality according to our own cravings. Pseudoscience is thus the handmaiden to ideology. Politics is its hammer. Mead provides a classic example of the power of bad ideology in creating and perpetuating pseudoscience. And not only that, but in her world, a foolish Judeo-Christian infatuation with fidelity leads only to marital conflict and misery. Whereas, in Messiah's world, not Mead's world, but Messiah's world, fidelity and commitment are the very stones upon which his children and civilizations flourish. So one book lauded in Western civilization is poison. Another book, however, can lead us into truth, truth that transforms. And of course, I'm talking about the Bible, which is a reliable authority.
It's completely true. And I think the problem with Mead and her ideas is that sometimes, and I think you can see this with kids, they give there's a disorder called oppositional defiant disorder. And it's when kids can't seem to be controlled. And they say that one of the best ways to deal with this is to actually give the kid more structure, to give him or her boundaries. So for that child, boundaries is good. Doing what letting him do whatever he wants is not good. It's the same with Caleb, my sister's son. He needs boundaries. He can't just do whatever he wants. If he did whatever he wanted, today he jumped in the hot tub. He was okay. But if he would have done what he wanted and stayed in there, he wouldn't be okay because he doesn't know how to swim. We need boundaries. That's part of the way that we're made. It doesn't mean that we have to be completely controlled. We still have some autonomy, but boundaries are not in and of themselves bad. And so when we have so much freedom in a democracy, it can be hard. Because either we want to give ourselves our own boundaries, or we become confused by our own freedom.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting that you say that. I remember being in China with David, my oldest son that just got married, and we're talking about that the Facebook Live session just before we went on the air. I was in China with him, and while I was in China with him, someone was asking me about parenting advice. Instead of letting me answer the question, David answered the question for me. And what he said I thought was very, very interesting. It's always stuck with me. He says, my dad and mom have always placed parameters around our lives, but they have not attempted to micromanage us. And I think the boundaries that you talk about are very, very critical. On the other hand, we want to make sure that we allow some flexibility within those boundaries.
Yes, and I think part of the problem with Mead's argument is that, yes, there are some cultures in which a village does raise a child, but there's an understanding, I think usually, that if the child goes and lives with another parent, the parent knows that parent and knows that parent's going to take care of that child. It's not just some dismissive, like, oh, you know, we're just going to trade children around. Like, I think that's a disservice to the Samoans to say that they did that. I think that when a village raises a child, you know people in that village, you trust them, and everyone's in it together.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
It's a stronger bond that way.
Sure, and what she was doing was recreating history. I mean, the truth of the matter is you find out on further examination that she set up sort of an ideal, which was a recapitulation of her own lifestyle, not a capitulation to truth. So you're absolutely right about that. And again, the book, 10 Books That Screwed Up the World, available for those who support the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We have Brandon Hughes, who is letting us know that he's thankful for, well, thank you. He's saying thank you to me. So thank you for saying thank you to me for being steadfast and a soldier for Christ. Right on. Thank you, Brandon. That's encouraging. David Harrington, He's also someone who is, man, I'm starting to get this technology down because I'm pushing the buttons and it's getting up on the screen. Anyway, he says, I'm thankful for being alive, to have a job and friends and family. That's a lot to be thankful for. And then Brock Covington, he's got a question. Let me see if I can get through this one. That looks like a long question. Let me put it up. I don't know why I didn't go and send. Oh, here we go. So anyway, this is a long question. He says, hello, great to see you both. I'm thankful for the love that God poured out on mankind, that he sent Jesus to pay the penalty for my sins. Question, know that you have written on the end times apocalypse code, and I've read the book. My question is, have you ever considered doing a complete line-by-line commentary on the book of Revelation? Also, whose commentary would you line up most with in your understanding of the end times? Yeah, well, thanks, Brock, for your question. You know, I've never actually thought about doing a line-for-line commentary in the book of Revelation, although if you see my Bible, and I'll hold this up for our Facebook crew and our YouTube live crew, if you look at my Bible, it is like a line-by-line commentary. Virtually every single space on every single page is covered with my notes. But you know, I was too wrapped up for many years in just wanting to understand all of the various ideas that were out there, to understand the historic position, because church history means a lot to me. You know, when I wrote my book, I didn't write my book until I had spent at least 15 years studying the subject. So the first 15 years of my ministry, essentially, when people asked me about end times, I just simply tell them about all the options that are out there, and I'd focus on the essentials. It wasn't until 15 years into my ministry at the Christian Research Institute that I decided that I had spent sufficient time with the book of Revelation to weigh in myself. And as you point out, the apocalypse code is where I weighed in, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Just one hint, and then we're going to go to break, and that hint is we want to make sure that we put the book of Revelation in the right epoch of time. Because like all the books of the Bible, it deals with contemporary situations and then points up towards the eternal reward for those who are faithful and fruitful, and ultimately for those who see Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, sacrificed before the foundations of the world. We are coming up to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be taking your questions when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, as well as Facebook questions. Next up after the break, we'll be talking to Carol in Bellevue, Washington. So stay tuned for that. I got an exciting show on tap, and we'll be right back.
If you've ever heard of a great books collection, well, here are their evil opposites. Marx, Lenin, and Hitler are just a few of the authors whose writings have bled into the history books with their bloody conquests backed by disastrous ideas. But history is written every day, and these ideas are still influencing the world in which we live. As Christians, being familiar with these ideas and their influence in our world will allow us to better counter them with the call of Christ. That's why Dr. Benjamin Weicker wrote 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help. To receive your copy of 10 books that screwed up the world as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Darwin, Freud, Sanger, Rousseau, and Marx. These are just a few of the infamous individuals who wrote books with ideas that have screwed up the world we live in. Ideas have consequences. Being a persuasive Christian witness involves familiarity with the ideas of secularist, materialist, and atheist. And Dr. Benjamin Weicker has read the worst books in Christian civilization, so you don't have to. This month, we are offering 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help by Benjamin Weicker. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. For many Christians, the reality of God is so obvious and undeniable that we're amazed anyone could seriously doubt it. And yet, many do. How can we help such people recognize what seems to be so apparent to us? James N. Anderson highlights 6 aspects of everyone's life that can be explained only if God exists. Other topics include, was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? The irony of 13 Reasons Why, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Darwin, Freud, Sanger, Rousseau, and Marx. These are just a few of the infamous individuals who wrote books with ideas that have screwed up the world we live in. Ideas have consequences. Being a persuasive Christian witness involves familiarity with the ideas of secularist, materialist, and atheist. And Dr. Benjamin Weicker has read the worst books in Christian civilization, so you don't have to. This month, we are offering 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help by Benjamin Weicker. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and welcome back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. During the break, we were talking to some of our listeners, questions that were on their hearts. David was asking about the Restored Church of God, which I pointed out during the break is a splinter group of the Worldwide Church of God under Herbert W. Armstrong's teaching. The pastor general of the Restored Church of God is David C. Peck. He denies the Trinity, he denies the personality of the Holy Spirit, denies the two natures of Christ, denies the sufficiency of Christ's atonement on the cross, denies eternal conscious punishment in hell, holds to Anglo-Israelism, which is another sticky wicket, and requires Saturday Sabbath, and very, very legalistic. The bondage that people were in under the Worldwide Church of God leadership was simply daunting, and to see the leadership come to faith in Christ, I think of so many of them, but the one that I mentioned during the break, Joseph Tkach Jr., has become a friend of mine. What an example of a person that was willing to give up everything for the truth. He had a absolute golden, well, not a parachute, but golden life because of the wealth of the Armstrong movement. And he was willing to give up everything. He was flying coach instead of having a plane. They sold their plane or whatever. So a good, tremendous example of a Christian deeply impacted by the truth of the essentials of the historic Christian faith. Well, we want to take a radio caller, John in Richmond, Virginia, who's listening on the web. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Say, I want to warn you that the Urban Baxter won't let me call into his show anymore. I called in there for like a year. I would continually challenge him on his doctrines, and he finally got fed up with me where he just won't let the callers take the call. So the first, not really question I have for you, but the statement is that those that try to teach the rapture, I call it the third dimensional rapture, never preach Romans chapter 8. To me, the Bible distills down to Romans 8:13. If you live after the flesh, you're going to die. But if you through the Spirit, you mortify the deeds of the body, you'll live. Those are the overcomers. They're overcoming the beast, which is the fleshly, earthly nature. Do you agree with that?
Not really. I mean, I certainly do not believe in a pre-tribulational rapture, but I wouldn't agree with how you formulated your sentences in this regard either. But with respect to a pre-tribulational rapture, let me simply say this, that that there's not a single text or a group of texts in all the Scripture that teach a pre-tribulational rapture. This is an idea, a 19th century idea, that became popular as a result of the teachings of John Nelson Darby And it is something that certainly is acceptable within the pale of orthodoxy, but I don't see it as something that you extract from Scripture, but rather something that you impose as a paradigm upon the Scriptures. And I think, unfortunately, paradigms only allow us to see what paradigms allow us to see, and we don't think about our paradigms as much as we think with our paradigms. And I think that if we would instead read the Bible in light of the Bible, we'd never come up with the idea that God has two distinct people with two distinct plans, necessitating two distinct aspects of the coming of Christ, pre-tribulational rapture, and then later, 7 years, Jesus comes back again. None of this is grounded, from my perspective, in reading the Bible in light of the Bible. So, no, I don't agree with the pre-tribulational rapture point of view. And so I've written about this in a book that I think was mentioned earlier on in the broadcast called The Apocalypse Code, what the Bible says about the end times and why it matters today. Barbara, next in Oakhurst, New Jersey. Barbara is listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay, I have a question that I've studied many times, but I never can quite get it. Maybe it's a mystery or maybe you'll have an answer. It's about our resurrection bodies.
Uh-huh.
You know, I understand that, you know, Christ had a resurrection body. I understand that we're going to have, our bodies are going to be perfect. But I don't understand when they come. You know, does just our soul go up and our bodies are in the ground? Or the verse that talks that those who are asleep rise first? What are you, you know, after all your studies, what do you say about those verses?
Well, I actually wrote about this in a book called Afterlife. And in this book, I actually talk about life as we're experiencing it in the present, and then life after life. And what that entails is when you die as a believer, you're absent from the body, present with the Lord. But there's also life after life after life, and that is the time that Jesus appears a second time. The Lord's own words, "Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned." So to put this in a concrete fashion, someone who has died, let's say, this year, died as a believer. They're absent from the body, present with the Lord. Their body is disintegrating in the grave. Their soul is aware in the presence of God. You know, you think about what Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." Well, that great cloud of witnesses is delineated in Hebrews chapter 11, but also includes those that I just described who may have died in the last week in the Lord. Their bodies in the grave, the non-physical aspect of their humanity is with the Lord. Well, that will be so for them until the time that the Lord descends with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God. At that time, you will then see that those who are already in the graves are going to be resurrected. The soul will return to resurrected bodies, and we will be what we were intended to be prior to the fall. If you are alive at that time, you're transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So I think we need to make a distinction between the intermediate state and the eternal state, the eternal state being when Jesus comes a second time.
Oh, I like that. I don't know why I've struggled with that one for so many years. And I thought, is it a mystery? Are we not supposed to get it? I've been in Bible studies where the teachers can't answer it, but you made that very clear.
Well, I'm so glad you called, because this is our hope, isn't it? I mean, our hope is that we are going to be resurrected when Jesus appears a second time. Immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul uses examples from botany and zoology and astronomy, all to give us a picture of what it will be like when the universe that now groans and travail, as our former caller alluded to, Romans chapter 8, when it is resurrected from its bondage to decay, we too will be resurrected from our bondage to decay. So we look forward for that with great anticipation.
No, I like that. I have an 85-year-old mother who I just left, who, you know, she's really aging and she's sickly and had cancer and strokes, and her faith is starting to wane. And I keep trying to have faith for her because I know the Bible says that we can have faith for people. Isn't it true, once that verse, that once you've been saved and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, she's not disbelieving, she's not rebellious, but she's saying things now like, well, I wonder if that's true. Do you think? Things that she used to know.
Sure.
And I think it's that her body is really broken. I mean, she's kind of hanging on by a thread.
Well, I can relate to that in many ways. I'm sitting in the studio today after going through a horrendous week last week in the hospital. It took a lot out of me, and I remember doing a couple of videos and so forth, and the words weren't coming to my mind as fluently as I would like them to, and the reason was is that I had just been assaulted in terms of my physical anatomy during the process of seeking to extract stem cells for a stem cell transplant or a bone marrow transplant. So, you know, I get a little bit of that, and I can certainly commiserate with that. And just for your encouragement, recognize that it's never the absence of truth that damns. It's just the despising of truth that damns. The fact that she's a bit confused at this point, given the circumstances that you described, does not mean that somehow or other she has lost her relationship with her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My mother also is in that condition. She's 92 years old. She's exactly 25 years older than I am, and she is losing some of her faculties due to dementia and so forth. So a lot of times she didn't even recognize me at first. It takes a little while, and then she'll recognize me again. But that's part of the disease. So be encouraged. Those who are in the palm of the hand, to put it metaphorically, of our Lord, no one will ever snatch them out of his hand.
That's what I say to her. You know, Mom, even when you're weak and you start doubting because your body's broken down and you don't get to leave the house, you don't keep your faith. The Holy Spirit, God, keeps your faith, because we're going to mess up. We can, right? So he holds our faith for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful truth that when we commit ourselves to the kingdom principles, the King of Kings has given us an earnest, a deposit guaranteeing that we will not only start the race, but finish the race. Now, obviously, we have to partake of the means of grace that God gives us to partake of. It's just like if I said, you know what, God has promised me health, but I'm not going to eat today. I have to eat. I have to do the things that maintain my health as well. So God ordains the ends as well as the means. Much more could be said, but I appreciate your call. As you can hear from the music, we're coming up to a station break. When we depart the radio, we'll be on the Bible Answer Man Facebook page. You can join us there in the interim. And then when I come back from the radio broadcast break, I'm going to give the quote of the day. That's a very, very helpful quote. It has to do with Thanksgiving. And we'll be taking more of your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember to connect with us on YouTube Live, the Bible Answer Man Facebook Live, and through the Hank Unplugged podcast, and, of course, through the resources we have available at equip.org. We'll be right back in just a few.
In order to find out where we're going, we need to know where we've been. Likewise, in order to understand how to improve the world around us, we need to examine where we've screwed up. Benjamin Weicker's book, 10 Books That Screwed Up the World and 5 Others That Didn't Help, offers a witty examination of ideas that have impacted our world for the worst, so that we can learn from their mistakes and better the world we've been blessed with. Read 10 Books That Screwed Up the World by Benjamin Weicker. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Hank Hanegraaff explains that while politically correct culture is quick to point out discrimination and abuse of women in other respects, there has been a deafening silence when it comes to the systematic oppression of women under Islamic Sharia law. Other topics include God made us so that He could be our Father in a way that reflects His fatherly relationship to His only Son, the rational inescapability of God. Was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. If you've ever heard of a great books collection, well, here are their evil opposites. Marx, Lenin, and Hitler are just a few of the authors whose writings have bled into the history books with their bloody conquests backed by disastrous ideas. But history is written every day, and these ideas are still influencing the world in which we live. As Christians, being familiar with these ideas will allow us to better counter them with the call of Christ. That's why Dr. Benjamin Weicker wrote 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help. To receive your copy of 10 books that screwed up the world as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Here's a question. Why are rivers polluted downstream? Because of contaminants upstream. Bad ideas have consequences, and just as toxins in our water can cause disease and even death, toxic ideas can cause millions of deaths over centuries. Benjamin Weicker brilliantly distills some of history's most dangerous ideas in 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help. To receive your copy of 10 Books That Screwed Up the World as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we are going to kick off this segment with the quote of the day. It is a quote by William Arthur Ward. He lived from 1921 to 1994. The date is only 3 years short of the time that my dad went home to be with the Lord. He was a prolific American writer of quotable maxims, and the quote of the day is one of my favorites. Gratitude can transform common days into thanksgivings, turn routine jobs into joy, and change ordinary opportunities into blessings. We'll be putting that up on the web at equip.org. But gratitude, we need to live with, maybe cliche, but an attitude of gratitude.
No, it's completely true, though. I mean, I think there's been people that have said people that laugh more live longer because you're not so pessimistic. There's purpose in your life. You see the good in everything, and so you live better that way. You have better relationships. You eat better. You exercise more. It's always great to be positive. I mean, sometimes you can have people that are positive about absolutely everything, and then it's like, well, we do need some time to, grieving is good, doubt is okay, there are good things like this, but being positive is always great, and being grateful too.
Well, you know, this is a little personal here, I'm gonna put this up on the board, but I have Vic, who is asking whether we can give a 60-second period of silence during one of the radio breaks today so the Facebook viewers can pray for you, your health, and for CRI. Unfortunately, we don't have another break. Maybe after the radio broadcast is over. But yeah, I mean, thank you so much for those who are praying for me. The Lord's hand, His finger, is in every detail of my cancer recovery. I'm very grateful that my bone marrow is now completely clean, which is a big step in the right direction, and that most of my tumors are gone. Still have a couple of tumors, very small tumors, in the pelvic area, but I'm grateful for those that pray for me. And I do believe that that God's mercies and His grace are sufficient for every single day. And I'm grateful for every day that He gives me to serve Him. And I have a feeling I'm going to be standing here or sitting here many, many years from now doing what I'm doing now, but even on an expanded basis. There's a lot of unfinished business, including a book that I'm writing. But at the end of the day, I'm happy to be here or happy to be with the Lord. But why do we want to remain? Well, because there is such opportunity for fruitful service in the present. And we believe that while we are saved by God's grace through faith, that ultimately what we do now counts for all eternity. There are degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell, and therefore we need to work. We need to use our talents, not bury our talents, but use our talents for God's kingdom, to extend it, because we're co-consummators in that kingdom.
You know, I've always thought that some of these doctrines or ideas about the hell not being real or like things of that nature are just kind of ways to get us out of this responsibility that we have. It's kind of like a get out of jail free card, or this idea that, you know, works, you know, we do works that works aren't important, but we do works because we are saved. And I think some people might try to use that to kind of be like, well, you know, it doesn't really matter that much, because then it makes us feel better that we're not perfect.
I did a video on this, actually. I've not mentioned it on the air. The video has had many, many, many people watching it. I think we put it up last week. But a good friend of mine, John MacArthur, I'd say good friend of mine, I haven't seen him in a long time, but we used to play golf together. I've had him on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I very much appreciate his ministry, but I felt some clarifications needed to be made when he was discussing this very subject. And so if anyone wants to Google MacArthur Hanegraaff, they'll get a sense of my response to this question of faith and works. Maybe I'll just say one word. We don't want to be dichotomaniacs. I won't expand on that. You can watch the video. You can find it on the web at equip.org, or just do what I said. You can simply Google, or you can go to the equip.org.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we have someone, Linda. Ooh, I like this comment. Linda says, Hank, I have to tell you, I fully enjoy your program and your lovely daughter that lights up the room with her smile and laughter. Please continue with Facebook. Really love to watch and listen. Thank you. Well, thanks, Linda. I think I'm really the light of this show. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, do you have any confidence? Where do you get that confidence from? I think you got that confidence from your mother.
Hey, a little bit of humor is always necessary.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to take a question from there or Facebook?
Well, you choose. I guess since we're doing the radio broadcast, maybe we should talk to John in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, listen, we had a little study the other night, and a question I had brought up was in Luke 31, let me just get it out here writing quickly. Luke, chapter 22, verse 31 and 34. Jesus refers to Simon, and then in 34, he refers to him again as Peter. And I wanted to know, is there any significance to that? Because it's the same individual, correct?
Well, it is the same individual, but I think there is always a significance that surrounds words. And so while we're talking about the same individual, we have to remember that there is a denotative and important meaning to the word Peter. And likewise, he is known by the moniker as the Rock. Why is he known as the Rock? Well, he's known as the Rock because of his confession that Jesus Christ is God. And remember, this ultimately revolves around the mother of all questions. Who do you say that I am? And there are so many different opinions about that. And so a Mormon can worship Jesus, but it's not the same Jesus of the Bible. A Muslim can believe in Jesus as a historical being, but it isn't the Jesus of the Bible, because the Jesus of the Bible is not a mere human being. He is God enfleshed, as John 1 puts it, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's go back and take another Facebook question. Junior Harvey, I'll send that up there. Mr. Hanegraaff, looking back, would you do anything different on assisting the Worldwide Church of God to come out of a works-based salvation? It wasn't just a works-based salvation. It was a whole lot more than that, and I mentioned some of the other problems with the Worldwide Church of God earlier on in the broadcast, denying eternal conscious punishment, holding to Anglo-Israelism, requiring Saturday Sabbath, a very, very legalistic group, and still is in the splinter versions of the Worldwide Church of God, like the Restored Church of God that I talked about earlier. Virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God, and with respect to this splinter group that we talked about earlier that formed out of the Worldwide Church of God leadership coming to faith in Christ and dispensing with their legalism. But the thing that they were really cultic in has to do with the nature of God. They denied the Trinity. I think I mentioned they denied the personality of the Holy Spirit. They denied the two natures of Christ and the like. And again, virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Carol in Bellevue, Washington. Hi, Carol.
Hi there. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Praying that this tumor will, that they'll all be gone.
Thank you so much.
I have a question for you. Do you know anything about the Word of Life Church or a Christian church or a gentleman called Brian, Z-A-H, A.D.?
You know, off the top of, I don't have any information on him. I kind of could give a guess, but I don't want to do that. I want to make sure that my answers are based in solid research. So here's what you can do. You can hang on. I know you've been hanging on a long time, and I apologize for that. But you can hang on when you hang up. With at least my interaction with you, you can hang on and someone will pick you up and we'll get some information to you from our research department because they may have information that I do not have at the tip of my tongue.
On this particular church?
Yeah. Do you have any details perhaps that are alarms to you?
No, I have just been Googling some information on it and it... And my daughter is interested in these particular blogs, and so I wanted to see if you knew anything about it.
Well, I don't, again, but I'm sure research department will be able to help you out. Hang on. Also, I want to point out that we're very close to the end of the broadcast. We'll try to hang around here for a little while after the broadcast with our Bible Answer Man Facebook listeners as well as our YouTube live listeners. I got a nice note here from Vitor. Hi, Hank. Hello from Japan. Robert saying, I've prayed for you following since Walter Martin. TY for being faithful. Thank you so much. What does that mean?
TY stands for thank you.
Thank you. See, I'm catching on. Sorry. We're closing out this broadcast, and my daughter's laughing at me because I did not know what TY stood for. Now I get it.
I'm sorry.
A little slow on it. Well, we, again, are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back right here tomorrow with more of the show. Call us tomorrow. We won't be doing the Bible Answer Man Facebook Live, but we will be on the air. So call us at 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. The information that I talk about, the books that I reference, you can find on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. So long for now. See you next time on tomorrow's broadcast.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. For many Christians, the reality of God is so obvious and undeniable that we're amazed anyone could seriously doubt it. And yet, many do. How can we help such people recognize what seems to be so apparent to us? James N. Anderson highlights six aspects of everyone's life that can be explained only if God exists. Other topics include, was there a Jewish temple in ancient Jerusalem? The irony of 13 reasons why, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Darwin, Freud, Sanger, Rousseau, and Marx. These are just a few of the infamous individuals who wrote books with ideas that have screwed up the world we live in. Ideas have consequences.
Being a persuasive Christian witness involves familiarity with the ideas of secularist, materialist, and atheist. And Dr. Benjamin Weicker has read the worst books in Christian civilization, so you don't have to. This month, we are offering 10 books that screwed up the world and 5 others that didn't help by Benjamin Weicker. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.